This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is the portion of our reports where we do the question and answer things on questions that you have either emailed me or called me about, and I'm just simply going down the list. There's no particular order to this. The furrow leaders. Many of you have asked me about furrow leaders over the last year. I've been experimenting with them quite a bit. Now, I personally find the furrow leader is better than the knotless leaders. I find that they're better across the board than the braided leaders. Now, across the board in a variety of different type fishing, I cannot say that they're better than the Murray's compound hand-tied knotted leaders. Both the furrow leader and our hand-tied knotted leader are very effective. I would say, if I had to have one or the other, I would lean on my hand-tied knotted leaders because of the flexibility I can get out of those during the construction. But the furled leader is certainly better than the braided or the knotless leaders. Okay, dry fly with a dropper. When and where do I use all that? Well, the first hatch we've got coming up here, the Epis pluralis that some people call Quill Gordon, that is a great place to use a dry and a dropper. For instance, I fished the Mr. Rapidan parachute dry in a size 14 there. Then I come off the bend of that hook. Let's see, I'll have that on 5X, and then I'll come off the bend of the hook with about 2 feet of 5X tippet material and put the Mr. Rapidan emerger on that. Now, what's so special about the emerger is that this fly is the way we tie that. It has the wings out that are coming up off the fly's body as that guy is swimming to the top. This particular mayfly is one of the few that pops his wings pretty close to the time he comes off the stream bottom. So when he's coming up through that column of water, he's got his wings out. Well, that's the way we tie the emerger. So if you're fishing the dry Mr. Rapidan, which matches it perfectly, and then going with the true emerger on the Mr. Rapidan, you're really duplicating what nature's doing. So, and then if you're the hatch starts about the middle of the day, so if you want to start earlier, then you're using the dry primarily as an indicator. So it's a great way to do, and I strongly encourage playing with it. Okay, some of the boys are digging out some bass in the North Fork of the Shenandoah River right now, and it is cold. Water temperature we took the other day was 44 degrees. What these boys are doing, and I must admit I'm not doing it. I'm still trout fishing. They do sort of a jigging type thing. Take a scientific angler, wet tip 3, that's Roman numeral 3, that sinks about 2 to 4 inches over the first 12 feet, or go to the sonar warm 200 grain sinking head that sinks in the first 30 feet. That thing sinks like man overboard. That's going down about 4 to 8 inches. They're going to the deeper pools. I mean, it may no bigger than a SUV, and fishing that real deeply and real slowly. Now, to take advantage of these sink heads and sink tip lines, I use a 6 foot 2X fluorocarbon, Murray's fluorocarbon sinking leader. The Magnum streamers we do are good on this. The cone head tungsten flies are good on this. Just go to those deep pools. I'm thinking about one right now. In fact, right here behind Chapman's Dam, right beside the fly shop practically. That water down in there gets to about 12 feet deep. Well, if you're willing to go down there and dig, you can dig out some bass right now. Okay. Oh, yeah, blue quills are coming here soon. That comes on just a little bit after the Epis pluralis. It's a fragile little fly, the blue quill. Is about a size 16, and he is a delicate, fragile little flies. I've seen many of them that the wings can't really pop out and fly away when the air temperature is real, real low. And I've seen them kind of splash over to the side of the pool and come up on dry land. Now, what happens a lot of time when they pop out on the surface, but their wings don't dry, they'll get carried over into a back eddy. Now, these back eddies, anywhere from 2 feet to, say, 6 or 8 feet in diameter, but they're big back eddies, big lazy Susans over on the side of the stream. Well, here's the poor little blue quill. Wants to fly away. He can't get off there. He can't get his wings popped out. And what he does, he gets carried round and round in those back eddies by the current. Well, the trout are attracted to this. The trout will actually move over under there. And if you stay back and real quiet and watch, you can see those trout cruising around under there, sipping them under, just going from fly to fly to fly. And what I do there, I don't fish that with a dry fly. I take a blue quill nymph in about a size 16 and dress it with the silicone floating and then fish it just like I would a dry fly, but it really is the nymph itself. And this is very effective, and that's some very exciting fishing. Correlate the high water and cold water, which is where we are right now. Now, we don't have high water. Our streams are full, but we certainly don't have high water. If you hit a period where the stream is at its maximum level for this time of the year, and what we've got today as I'm sitting here, that water temperature is below 40 degrees. When it's that cold and the water is full to high, it's pretty tough. If you can just get a few degrees on top of that, you're going to be better off. Now, suppose you're committed to go like I'm going tomorrow. No matter what's happening, I think I'm going. All right, I know very well the stream is going to be cold. If I get over 40 degrees, I'm going to be thrilled, but it probably won't be. So what I'm going to do to compensate for that high water, high temperature temp, I'm going to try to go to a very, very small feeder high up in the Blue Ridge Mountains someplace, because you can handle the smaller water flow. The fish will feed a little bit better than when you have a high water and a low temperature. So basically, I'm saying going to the small feeders or to the small head of the streams. Okay, tying deer hair, bass bugs, like we do in our schools here and all that. All right, there are really two things I go by when I'm tying deer hair, bass bugs. One, I do not want thread on the hook shank. Normally, when I'm teaching how to tie the various flies, the first thing we do is we cover the hook shank with thread and put a little cement on that to give a good foundation. That you do not want with the deer hair, bass bug. You want the hook shank clear. Now, this is the part that people just getting into tying deer hair bugs have trouble with. You cut that chunk of hair off right down against the deer's hide. Then get a pair of scissors or get an old comb or get an old, I use an old toothbrush, and try to brush every bit of that short hair and that down-like stuff out of there. Basically, you've got to get that clump of deer hair that you're going to tie on there just totally clean of all that junk, short hair, fuzz, whatever is in there. Then go to your hook shank. I got to where I kind of like Kevlar best for this. And in teaching the classes, the kids don't break the Kevlar the way they do the other stuff. So, but the two things I inquire on my deer hair bug is a clean hook shank, and then clean that fuzz out of there, and then go from there, and it's all downhill from there on. Those are the basic things I wanted to talk about today. Somebody was asking me how you improve the durability of these deer hair bass bugs you're tying. The old standard thing is just after you finish tying the fly, turn that guy upside down to where you're looking at his tummy, get spar varnish, cut it 50-50 with paint thinner, spar varnish now, paint thinner, cut it 50-50, and just get a toothpick or something and or an old brush and just paint right up his tummy along that hook shank. And that glues that hair to that hook shank. And no reason a Tapley bug tied like this wouldn't take 100 bass. So that's some of the stuff we were getting questions on that I wanted to help you with today. If you have anything you want to talk about in the future, just ring me. I'll be glad to do it, or shoot me an email on it. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. The phone number here is 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.